Hi there. I'm Paul Boger, host of KNPR State of Nevada. Enjoy this conversation from the show. If you like it, please follow us, and thanks.
The plan for managing Colorado River water is set to expire later this year. Some 40 million people rely on it for municipal needs, including roughly 2.5 million residents of the Las Vegas Valley. Water managers from seven river states have been trying to hammer out a deal before the federal government steps in and imposes severe cuts, which could happen later this summer. Recently, Heidi Kaiser sat down with Southern Nevada Water Authority General Manager John Ensminger for an overview and update. Their conversation was the first installment of our new live event series, SON In Depth, and the full interview will be on knpr.org later this week. In the meantime, here's a snippet of that conversation. And as a note, KNPR gets financial support from the Southern Nevada Water Authority.
Hi, John.
Hello again.
I want to go back to the 1922 agreement or the 1944 agreement that you referenced earlier. You know, it's often sort of collectively called the law of the river. And many people who are here tonight and listening in will know by now that it was based on flawed math, among other things. The average flows that it was using that got divided up and allocated among the seven states that rely on those flows were higher than the overall averages we've seen since then. And the resulting overallocation doesn't even take into account climate change, drought, the record low snowpack we saw this year. And that's just one issue, albeit a very big one. There are other problems with the law that have also been identified over the years. And, you know, we often hear summaries of the current situation that focus on haggling or even fighting among the basin states. Let's for a moment just turn that around. And I want to think about it as a mandate to fix or improve the agreement. Let's say that we were going to be able to account for things like climate change and indigenous people's water rights, some of the big problems with the previous agreement. What are the top two or three problems like that with the current law that you believe you and the other water managers should be tackling right now?
Well, it takes a lot more than me and six other governors' representatives. But if you want to really drill into the dysfunctional components of the law of the river, I would identify three. The first one is the treaty between the United States and Mexico. Article 10B says you can only curtail deliveries to Mexico in the event of an extraordinary drought. But there's no definition of extraordinary drought. It's probably the worst written provision of law I've ever read. The second one would be the really regretful decision of the state of Arizona to agree to the 1968 Act, where they got federal funding to build the Central Arizona Project and subordinate and make junior all of their water rights to the state of California, which makes it incredibly difficult to get California to contribute. And then the third is just the poorly worded Article 3 in the compact itself, which leaves the upper basin thinking we divided the river 50-50 and leaves the lower basin thinking they owe us all of our water even if they have to go to zero. So you just have these really dysfunctional junctures within a century of river law that allow people to dig in on different positions and make it very difficult to reach compromise.
Another way that I've been thinking about this is that there's really not a monolithic law of the river. And you touched on this earlier. There's a starting agreement, and then there's a bunch of alterations, a bunch of addendums, infrastructure plans, legal settlements, minutes, treaties, other updates over the years. It's all really just sort of a Byzantine management plan. To give folks an idea what Colorado River system negotiations look like, it took 7 years, if I'm not mistaken, to come to the agreement on the 2019 drought contingency plan. Is that right?
I guess I would estimate 5 years, but it takes years, to come up with these agreements.
And I want you to help me understand what it means when we hear that, you know, the law or the agreement is expiring this year, given that Byzantine nature of the management plan. Is it that referring to the drought shortage period addressed in the interim guidelines from 2007, or is it the 2019 contingency plan, or are there, you know, parts of the management plan that are going to stay in effect and we're going to replace everything else? Are we chucking the whole thing out the window and coming up with a new plan? What does that look like?
Well, as with most answers in water, it's not entirely linear. There are the big parts that are expiring are the 2007 guidelines, which govern how you create intentionally created surplus in Lake Mead, which govern how much shortages need to be taken in the lower basin, which govern operations between Lake Powell and Lake Mead. The drought contingency plan that I referred to as being approved by Congress expires, and three different minutes with Mexico all expire essentially on October 1st this year. Mm-hmm. However, there are some, not evergreen provisions, but some provisions that continue on. The ability of the lower basin entities to access our intentionally created surplus through 2036 stay in place and have been blessed by Congress. Nevada's ability to move water from the Virgin and Muddy Rivers through Lake Mead and access it at our facilities at Saddle Island stay in place through 2056. So it's not 100% expiration, but it's a big enough expiration that if we don't have another plan in place, you're leaving it to the federal government to act unilaterally.
Yeah. And the Interior Department has set and reset, and they've been missed, deadlines for the basin states to come up with this plan that you were just talking about. Most recently, I think it was Valentine's Day. The states yet don't have anything firm, a few proposals, and you made one in early May. I believe it was first reported locally by Alan Halali of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. It involved, as I understand it, lower basin states taking voluntary cuts in order to save up to 3.2 million acre feet of water by 2028. Where does that proposal stand?
I think Nevada, in our comments, we put out a proposal. California immediately endorsed it. And then we got a response from the Department of Interior, and we spent the last couple of weeks talking with them about that. And I think that's the most likely 28-month operating plan. Like, how do you get to the end of 2028 without steering the car into Supreme Court litigation? So I think there's been some very productive conversations, and certainly Nevada can live within what we have proposed as our contributions. So we'll just have to see if we can land that particular airplane. There's a hearing in front of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee today, where Senator Cortez Masto asked a couple of fairly pointed questions of the Assistant Secretary of Water and Science. So it's a bad pun, but it's a fluid situation.
And in that proposal, how much would Nevada be giving up?
So California has proposed reducing their basic apportionment by 440,000 acre feet. Arizona's proposing to reduce their basic apportionment by 760,000 acre feet. And Nevada has proposed reducing our basic apportionment by 50,000 acre feet. But the important thing to keep in mind there is our basic apportionment is 300,000 acre feet. So that would mean our legal ability to divert water off of our basic apportionment would go to 250,000 acre feet. But our ICS, our intentionally created surplus off the Virgin and Muddy, is 30,000. So we'd still have 280. And last year, we used 198. So under anything but the most catastrophic conditions for the next 28 months, we would still be banking more extra water in Lake Mead. We wouldn't actually be required to, cut off any particular thing.
So it's been reported by multiple outlets that the Bureau of Reclamation is now aiming for this summer as their latest deadline. They want something from you guys. And the Bureau and you have both suggested short-term plans that get revisited every couple of years. And assuming this would allow for prioritization of problems to solve, putting, say, the most urgent first. So, if it takes 5 years to negotiate 1 minute, let's say we only have 2 years to tackle something, you're going to start with the most urgent things, right? So what would be those first couple of issues that you have to tackle in that interim period?
Well, I think you have to deal with the states in the upper basin, Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico, and get them to accept the fact that they're going to have to be part of the solution, because thus far they really have kind of stiff-armed us and just said, you know, I think different states have different reasons, but we have not made progress with them being willing to be part of the solution. And if they continue to refuse to be part of that solution, I'm not sure litigation is avoidable. So we got to really press on that, and not just at the gubernatorial representative level. I mean, senators and utility managers and, you know, different people have to get involved in that conversation. If we could get any meaningful contribution out of those four states, then I think you have to turn your attention to the durability of the lower basin reductions, and then the Powell to Meade release operations and how you release water from upstream, you know, Flaming Gorge, Blue Mesa, you know, Navajo, the major components of how you construct a long-term durable deal like that.
John Ensminger is among the negotiators who are trying to find enough water for the 40 million people who use the Colorado River, in addition to all of us who use it here in Las Vegas. John, thank you so much for being here and talking with me today. I really
appreciate it. Thank you. It was a pleasure, Heidi.